The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. Final hour has arrived. We appreciate you being here, and it's been a busy show. And let's continue. Dawn Staley joining us a couple hours ago. Great conversation there. How about Phil in North Carolina? Hello, Phil.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to commend you for allowing conversations on your show that include justice issues and politics. And I hate to throw one more at you, but I ask about another justice issue because it seems one has been done. I want to know, is there a process, something on file at NCAA offices, some process by which the coaches and players and fan base of a university can relinquish a national title once we've learned that it was won unfairly because of these injuries?
Phil, and I can't say that with certainty, but in my own mind and heart, I believe there is a way. And it would require legal action. And I know some people that are currently working on that as we speak. That's probably about as far as I could go without violating any confidences.
Well, and I want to publicly issue an apology because I partied in Indianapolis until about 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking that we had won that thing fairly and squarely. And then I've found out since then that we were playing against the members of some fraternity's flag football team, I guess, is what was going on.
Phil, there is no legal precedent for it, but my goal is to file enough lawsuits where we we will be heard. And I can't name the group of lawyers that we have hired. They're very familiar, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'm feeling better already, Paul. Yeah. And I heard you get somebody hung up on you when you asked if we should replay the game when Colt McCoy was injured as well. But I want to keep it in the same rivalry, and I haven't seen every minute of the show. I don't know if anybody's brought up Tyler Simmons and the offside call in that national championship game, which would have very likely changed the outcome of that football game on that block punt. And so what I'm thinking maybe we should do, Paul, is they can keep that one and we'll keep this one. Would that be fair? Would that be equitable? I want to do the right thing, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this to you. I've sat here for the three losses that Alabama has encountered in national championship games. The first one against Clemson, we spent about a month talking about the illegal pick play that Clemson used on the Deshaun Watson. Was it who was the guy that caught the ball? The wide receiver. He seemed like he was there for 10 years. Hunter Renfrow. I'm sorry. Apologize to Hunter. Interestingly, the game 3 years ago, the 28-point loss in San Jose, got very little attention because Alabama fans just disappeared for 6 months. This one is different. This one is being hotly contested.
Yeah. Well, Paul, any way you can use your influence to help us all sleep better,
Phil,
to get this thing right, it would be greatly appreciated.
We will be having a press conference tomorrow, and we will be getting to the bottom of this issue here. Chris is in Tampa. Hello, Chris.
Hey, bud. Paul, how you doing, bud?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Man, I got to admit to you, Paul, this is the first time I've tuned into your show. I was looking forward to watching Georgia beat Alabama in a basketball game at 6:30 Eastern time. And I tuned in at 5:30 and that's your show. And I'm listening. I'm like, my God, I love it. This is awesome. and I heard a Alabama fan, you know, they're crying about the Georgia game. You know, they really want it. I don't know what atmosphere they're in, but if that's the case, I mean, in my opinion, Auburn beat Alabama. You know, I mean, outside of if we had to go overtime and had a half decent quarterback, I mean, my God, I think things would have been a little bit different if, hell, Paul, if you'd have been back there playing quarterback from Auburn, hell, I think you guys, Auburn, would have beat Alabama views back there.
Yeah.
You know, handing the ball off.
You know, to think that if Tank Bigsby had not gone out of bounds in that game, we wouldn't be having this show today.
We wouldn't be having this show. Alabama never would have met Georgia, and there's a lot of things that would never happen. But, hey, guess what, man? You know, Alabama looks good for next year. Auburn, I don't know what's going on over there in their football program, but us Auburn fans have something really good going on now with their basketball program. And, you know, from what I've seen from your show, I just tuned in for the first time in my whole entire life just now. And I'm like, man, you know, you're not really into the basketball spectrum, it don't seem like. But
well, no, we that's not exactly true, Chris. We talked to Dawn Staley earlier. We have Nate Oates on tomorrow. So we do cover basketball pretty – we have a guest coming up in a few minutes. But the football conversation never dies, though. Basketball does weave its way throughout the season. But the football conversation is legendary here. Cecil is in Tennessee. Hello, Cecil.
Hey, Paul. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment and then ask a question. First, I'm proud of the Auburn basketball men's team. I'm very proud of South Carolina women and Tennessee women's basketball teams. I love them all. But now my question is, if a team had lost four games in women's basketball and two of them to non-ranked teams, how are they still number 10 in the nation? I don't understand that.
Yeah, rankings are very odd, but I can't answer that one, though.
Isn't that sort of dumb?
It does seem that
no,
way, yes.
No, school would be number 10. I just wanted to ask your opinion on it.
I presume you're talking about UConn?
Yeah.
Well, UConn has immunity against any objectivity from the media.
I believe you're right. And I just saw that when it came up on the rankings yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. I said, I'm going to try to get into Paul.
They're guaranteed a Final Four, and they're also guaranteed to blow it this year like they have the last 3 years in a row.
I just blew my mind when I saw that.
Well,
unranked teams.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And we talked to Dawn Staley about they had a game with UConn scheduled this week. It's too bad they didn't play because South Carolina would have won. But they couldn't do it. Thanks for the call. Justin is in Alabama. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are well. Thank you.
I was calling about when Texas and Oklahoma join the league coming up in the next couple of years. I know it's been suggested that the SEC conference would move to a four pod system. And as it currently is, they play eight conference games and four out of conference games. I was looking at this and I came up with the idea that move it up to eight conference games, but the nine conference games, but the ninth conference game would be the winner of pod one versus pod two, and split the pods up. The winner of the pods would play each other for the ninth game, and then seed it out like that. The two seed of pod one would play the two seed of pod three. It would kind of give it a playoff format, and I still think we would get the best teams into the
Justin, I appreciate your call and your suggestion. I don't think it's going to work. And right now, they don't know. They are meeting throughout the spring. There's a group of people, the athletic directors, who are knee deep into this, including the Texas and Oklahoma athletic directors. I'm sure have a say, and they are unresolved at the moment. But the flaw with your system is that you have to end the season by a certain Saturday for the SEC championship game. And if you add that, you're now talking about Thanksgiving weekend, which is a traditional weekend, and you eliminate a lot of other schools. Television would probably not permit that. But I appreciate the call. It's an interesting suggestion, though. Let's check out Dan, who is in Ohio. Hello, Dan.
How you doing, Paul? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I've got a question and a comment. I'm a Joe Burrow's fan, and I'm just curious how you think he'll do against Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan as well. We had Jimmy Burrow on yesterday. I think they're going to be a little overmatched in this game. That would be my quick read. Not that I'm an NFL expert, but I think this was going to be extremely difficult for them. They have exceeded expectations, but I just wonder if they can create enough offense to beat the Chiefs.
Well, they need more protection for Burrows.
I think the 8 or 9 sacks would indicate that.
Yeah, that's correct. And my other comment is, you were talking about black coaches. I'm an Indiana fan. I started basketball, and they've got Mike Woodson over there coaching now. And he's really a good coach.
Yeah, he is a good coach and a legendary figure. Yeah, to me,
and
I don't think
Indiana in 1976.
He played on the Kent Benson team. Was Quinn Buckner on that team too? I'm trying to remember.
Quinn Buckner, yeah. Bobby Knight was a coach.
The team was that the undefeated? Yeah, that was the undefeated team, wasn't it, Dan?
That's correct. See, yeah, there was two teams. One of them, basically, if Scott May hadn't got his arm broke, it probably went back to back.
So they lost the year before to Kentucky, if I remember correctly.
By one, one game. That's correct.
Yeah, no, that is one of the greatest runs ever. I'm not talking about the wooden runs, but I mean that was in the middle of the wooden era. And they still did it. It was just simply unbelievable.
They were 32-0.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
And I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting if anybody can ever go undefeated again.
Well, wasn't Gonzaga on the verge of it?
They were.
Yeah. Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember. I've lost track.
I think it was last year.
I'm so used to Gonzaga blowing it at the end. I never can differentiate which year they did it. Hey, thank you for the call. Interesting call, by the way. Mo is up next in Alabama. Hey, Mo.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Mo, we are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was calling about that guy that he calls himself Iron Man. I got a better name for him. How about Pineapple Head?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, look at his head. It's shaped like a pineapple. And the guy that's legend, is Iron Man and Legend, are they dating each other? Because that's all they talk about when they get on your show is each other. So, and I was going to ask you this.
Sure.
Paul, do you ever think you'll ever go back home to Memphis? Do you think you'll ever move back to Memphis, back home?
No, Mo, I don't. I mean, I love growing up there, but I have not lived in Memphis since I was in high school, or college, I should say. It's just one of those things. I mean, there are plenty of places I would probably consider going back to, but I don't think. Are you from Memphis? No. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. Usually, would you go back here? Would you go back there? But that was a pretty easy answer. Okay, we are going to head to the break here. We have basketball coming up in a few minutes. We have Pat Bradley as well for the folks who asked about the guy that asked about basketball a minute ago. And we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So we're back. Pat Bradley joining us. We got Georgia and Alabama. It seems like we just saw that game in football.
Yeah, that's right. It's not going to be as physical.
No.
I can guarantee you that.
Or as controversial.
That's right. Exactly. Well, there's something, you know, something always tends to happen.
But let's talk about Georgia for a second, because you know, we keep waiting for that moment with Tom Crean.
Well, I did their game actually last week at Auburn, and they had a lot of turnover. Paul, they had, obviously, Xavier Wheeler now is starting for Kentucky.
Right.
And when you lose your point guard, KD Johnson, who starts for Auburn, was with Georgia last year. So that high rate of turnover with the roster is met by the high rate of turnover on the basketball court.
Right.
Live ball turnovers, and it's, to me, fundamentals. The teams that win consistently, I know, coach speak, take care of the basketball, rebound, get good shots, things like that. And frankly, Georgia, unfortunately, too, has had two big injuries. P.J. Horn, who they were depending on to come back. Ingram, another guy that they'd be able to, big guys, play through. They just don't have it. You know, sometimes it's about those horses, and you know, they don't got them this year.
Alabama hit the skids, but they bounced back a little bit. What are your thoughts on them?
Tide fans, take it easy, Tide fans. Take it easy. Paul, they had three losses, okay, in SEC play by a combined 12 points. They are the biggest giant killers in college basketball this year. Gonzaga, Houston, even going back to losing to Davidson on a neutral court. That Davidson team, that's an NCAA tournament team. So we know their backcourt is amongst the best in the country. You take the Missouri game, for instance. They come out in a zone, tough to match up. Missouri gets a lot of confidence. Boom, that game's over. But they come back and almost have a chance. So a lot of it is defensively with them, rebounding, defense. If, you know, I think they were spoiled last year. I didn't realize the effect Herb Jones, John Petty, these guys had. They can still get back there. Like I said, it's each loss is a 1-2 possession game. And you can recover from that when they get that talent. And, you know, Coach Oates puts them over the edge with his scheme and ability and different things he does.
We've seen it in the past. Number one team in the country goes on the road, boom. That's where Auburn is tonight. I'm not suggesting it, but you're carrying a lot more with on your back than you were a week ago.
Have you ever been to Columbia, Missouri on a cold January, Tuesday, January?
I've been there on a cold summer night.
It's where dreams go to die, Paul, okay? So it was interesting because last week they played Georgia at Auburn, and then – obviously, Kentucky on Saturday. So the whole conversation was, is this going to be a game where they overlook Georgia in anticipation for Kentucky? They didn't do that. Took care of business against Georgia. Now you get the number one seed. Now you understand that target is on your back. You go to Missouri, who Missouri's a tough matchup now because they can play five guys out. They have a versatile lineup. They play small ball. And is something about that arena, Paul. They start making shots. They defend. They're scrappy. And, you know, if Auburn isn't playing at its best, we know in basketball you make shots. You be physical. You compete in the paint. And you could be in for a battle. But, Auburn is the deepest team in the country, most depth, best bench. They're too deep at every position. The versatility, the balance on defense and offense. That's why they're number one team in the country.
Talking to Pat Bradley, a couple of games. Kentucky plays tonight.
Yeah.
They're ready for a bounce.
Final four team. But with Ty Washington healthy, he's their best all-around player. Now, Oscar Tshiebwe, he does something better than anybody in the country. Rebound the ball. But Ty is so effective. They were up 9 against Auburn. Ty Washington gets hurt. And not saying they would have won if Ty was playing, but it would have been a closer game at the end. It just gives you the effect because he's another ball handler on the floor. He can shoot it. He's big enough at 6'3 where he can put it on, pull up, jump shot over his defender. So a healthy Ty Washington's got Kentucky in contention.
Mississippi State, they've had a good year, though. They're on the road at Rupp. Assess their...
Mississippi State may have the best transfers in our league. Garrison Brooks, Rocket Watts, Shaquille Moore. Ben Howell's done an excellent job. They play slow. Their key is start Tolu Smith, big Tolu Smith, start him on the block, get him rolling, play inside out. They do have one of the best point guards in the entire SEC, Iverson Molinar, 6'3", explosive, tough matchup from a guard position because he shoots over his defender. He plays, you know, 94 feet. He's fast and athletic. So for Mississippi State, I think it's about they have to be patient because they got to get it in the paint. And a lot of times, as we know, you know, 19, 20-year-olds aren't patient. If it works once, they don't go back to it. It's like, you know, Coach Holland's like, guys, it just worked three times in a row. Why are you jacking up a three? And we know everybody loves shooters. But for them,
of all people, for you to say that?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Well, I shot it because I couldn't get closer. That's as close as I could get.
You shot it as soon as you crossed midcourt, didn't you?
That was it, right. That was the daylight. I mean, that was the amount of daylight. It was when I was talking to my backcourt mate, Kareem Reed, the great Bronx, New York point guard. He said, Pat, yeah, when you caught it, you shot it. That was it.
And you made enough of them to get the nickname. Pat, great to see you.
Thank you.
Basketball coming up in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back. We're here for the final 30 minutes, and you want to give us a ring, you can do so at 855-242-7285. We just saw some breaking news from baseball that's interesting. David Ortiz was selected on the first ballot to the Hall of Fame. He once tested positive for PEDs, but that did not stop him from getting in the Hall of Fame. But it did cost Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling. They all failed to get into the Hall of Fame on their 10th and final year. They are, I guess there's still a chance they can get in on some other means, but three players that were legendary in the game. Let's get back to the calls. And Mel is up next in Florida. Hey, Mel, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Look, my wife and I both graduated from Alabama in the mid-70s. I love Alabama football. I'm proud of Alabama, the team. I'm proud that we got to where we were this year because nobody thought we'd ever be in the championship game. And I want to address this to the Bama Nation. Stop whining. Stop making excuses. Act like you got some class. Coach Bryant will be turning over in his grave listening to you whiners and complainers. We've been there more than anybody else. Enjoy it. We've got the best coach in the country. Kirby Smart's the second best coach in the country. He'll be the second best coach in the country until Coach Saban retires, whenever that is. So act like you got some class. My gosh. And Jerome, I feel your pain. It hurt me too. I love you, man. Just suck it up and move on. And look, as for Darryl in Columbus, Albert Einstein said the difference between genius and stupidity is genius has its limits. Darryl has proven that stupidity has no limits. One other thing, Paul, I heard your interview with Dawn Staley.
Yes.
That woman is a gem. University of South Carolina ought to thank their lucky stars they have that woman. She is wonderful.
She really is. She's
amazing. I'm telling you, she is amazing. And I'm telling you, I hope I'm not out of order. See, I think she's the Pat Summitt of this generation.
I think you're right about that. That's a really well orchestrated statement. Hey, thank you very, very much, Mel. Appreciate it. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
You know, I love the way. Did you hear that, Paul? I thought, well, he's got to be talking about me. He said that female, that woman, is a gem. Well, what more could you want to be than a gem, right? I mean, perfect timing, right, Paul? Come on, perfect timing.
I thought he said the same thing, Jim. I'm glad you were there to answer the call.
Well, really, though, here's what I like that guy. He's real excited. But, hey, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
I'm remembering. Trying to remember.
Whatever his name was, I want to say to him, he emphatically, like he said, I like this call. I like this passion. I like the way he, like a coach. But, hey, whatever your name is, I'm not crying. I'm telling it like it is about Bama. I'm telling it like it is about Georgia. One-time deal. I'm not a crier. Say, sir, I'm not a crier. But anyway, here's why I call. I didn't call for that. But I like that guy. But just tell him, we ain't all crying. We just telling it like it is. Here's what I want to call about. I was waiting to talk to Cubes, and I heard you talk about Barry Bonds, Clemens, and who else?
Kurt Schilling.
Love it. Not Kurt, but I love it about the other two. I love it. You know what I said about Barry Bonds? He don't deserve nothing. He don't deserve nothing, Paul. You talking about dirty? Well,
you know something, Jim? If you stop Barry Bonds' career the day he started taking steroids, he was still a Hall of Fame player.
Well, you're right about that. And I told you on this show about 10 years ago, I said Barry Bonds had an average of 37 home runs before he started taking the stuff. And then, of course, it went up to 47 or 48. And I was proving the point of how that stuff helped him without a doubt. So that's why he's a cheater.
There's no question it helped him. But that's what bothers me about these guys when they were already.
But that's
the human nature to never be satisfied with where you are.
Paul, listen to me. Listen to me, man. You're not being over, what's the word for it? You're being too much of a purist when it comes to the truth. The guy cheated in a way that makes him illegitimate as a person. He doesn't deserve it because of what he did, Paul. I mean, if Pete Rose doesn't deserve it, this guy sure doesn't deserve it. I'm telling you, I'm passionate about that, Paul. I'm telling you, he does, and neither does Clemens. They were both stinking cheating, whatever you want to call them. They were cheaters, and they got advantage by cheating. That's not good. How bad is that, Paul, to win games because you're cheating?
No, I mean, that's disgraceful. And that's why they were kicked out and that's why.
And it's right. They did the right thing. I remember I talked to you about this for weeks about how Barry Bonds, you could look at him. I said, look at this picture, Paul. Before he started taking it, he was a slender guy. He pumped up, that stuff pumped him up about 35 pounds and made him look like a muscular guy. You know, it just burned my, you know what, to see that, to see him do that, and to get away with it. He ain't got no home run record. I mean, Henry Darren is a home run king, man. I don't care what you say. There's your home run king, baby. That's the man. He's the man.
Well, no. I'm not arguing that point. I'm just stating, which is pretty obvious. But, yeah, hey, you're right. No matter what you do, once you go down a path, it is going to haunt you.
You're going to have to answer for it, Paul.
Well, sure.
Especially
yeah.
in the great game of baseball. I mean, you can get away with some crappy stuff in football, NFL, but that ain't the way baseball was meant.
No, but baseball the baseball writers, still take their role seriously, where most people in Hall of Fame don't.
That's the one thing. I love that. Man, when you said that, I said, good night.
I think they do it to extreme. In terms of personal pet up, remember the NFL writers did the same thing with Kenny Stabler.
Yeah, I was just thinking about him. Exactly. But I don't think that was right for Kenny because he didn't do that on – he was all right. I don't think it was right what they did to Kenny.
Well, but you know, because we've had conversations about this, but there are no pettier people in the world than sports writers.
Well,
I served as one for many, many years. I mean, they will hold a grudge a good 50 or 60 years.
You know what? I want to tell you something else about your voice. Your voice saying what you said about Cummins when you came back on the air right while I was holding. And your voice, when you said what you said about Cummins, you got a sterling voice when you said, I wish you could. Man, that was, it impacted me so much just the way you got a certain kind of voice that's magnetic when you said things like that. And you said, your voice was phenomenal when you said about, here's the news about Cummins, and you said Bonds. I wish you'd replay that. That was, man, I loved hearing that. Just the way you said that. That's when I told you a long time ago, you got the voice for this stuff. You have got the voice.
Yeah, I think it has to do with things that I'm passionate about versus, and you know the rest.
Yeah, but you really have a way of saying things in a dramatic, serious, stern way. And that's what you said. That's the way you said that about Cummins. First you said Bonds, Cummins. You had it in right order too. Bonds, Cummins, and I can't believe they left Curt Schilling out. I can't believe, he deserved to be in.
Well, I think Schilling has been affected as much by his steroids as his politics.
Yeah, I like his politics. You know that.
Yeah, no, but I think a lot of people have turned on him because he has been so outspoken about that.
And that's what I like about the guy. I think he's an honest guy, don't you?
I don't know him, but I admire anybody who's outspoken. I will say that.
Well, then you admire me, I guess.
Well, yeah, no, page 54.
Thanks, Paul. I enjoyed this one. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jim. We are going next to Mitch, who is in South Carolina.
Don't you turn no corner fast. You're going to break that man's neck. I can't believe he's kissing your butt like that.
We're just having an honest conversation, Mitch.
Don't use page 54 and honest in the same sentence. When did you start fixing people up on your show?
Oh, we've done that forever. Not really the most recent show, but the show before we came here. That was one of our things.
I can see. I mean, you're trying to give Page 54 and Miss Faye a little outlet to have a little romance on the show.
Well, I don't know about it. I think Jim just finds Faye to be a fine woman of, I mean, Faye kind of reminds everybody of their grandmother.
He's just as genuine as, please.
You don't like that guy, do you?
He can come on here and drop F-bombs and call everybody everything else and then talk to her like he's pouring sugar out of something. He's fake as owl shit. Please.
We are not going to allow that kind of conversation. So you're criticizing a guy, and you're the one that gets knocked off the show. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.